Blog Talk Radio.
Amen and amen. It is another blessed day in Christ Jesus. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I am grateful for all of you that is tuned in to this broadcast, no matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I thank God for this opportunity and hour. And wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we humble ourselves before you on this blessed day. And we ask for the grace and mercy of God this day, that, Lord God, that you will bless us as we assemble together to understand more of your word. Without your word, we can't comprehend. So therefore, Lord God, we ask that your spirit will begin to deal with us in our heart with the truth. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray that all that have been listening and tuning into this broadcast who seeking truth shall find it. In the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, we give you glory and honor and praise and magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. For those of you, if you have any questions, any comments about the lesson, prayer requests, the phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Once again, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, 870-3403. If you don't like doing it over there, contact us with the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So today we are on part 6 of persecution in the end time. Before I go any further, I just want to allude to those of you who may be first-time listeners and encourage you after listening to part 6 tonight to go back and listen to part 1 of this series, Persecution in the End Time. If you're listening to me on this broadcast, is on this page where there's a picture of a little Bible on the right-hand side. Click on it, Dropbox and show. Click on episodes, and you can scroll to Persecution in the End Time Part 1. Now, if you're listening to this broadcast on the page where there is no picture of little Bible but the God's Word to Man logo, you should be able to click on that and go to the past episodes and go to Persecution in the End Time. That's what it's going to be labeled for Part 1. Amen. And I say that unto you because you're going to hear me mention not only the scriptures from the Bible, but scriptures from a couple other books that is contain the Word of God also. It goes with the Bible called the Word of the Lord and the Record of Nephi. So when you listen to part one, in part one I point you to past broadcasts that you can go to and listen to hear more information on these books. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, having said that, we are in part 6 tonight, Persecution in the End Time, and we're dealing with one of the things that Jesus said that is to happen to the believers in these last days, that we're going to suffer persecution. We're going to be harassed and punished for our faith. And we have come to understand that harassment and punishment is not only verbal, but also physical. And so we have been looking at, as of late, in this persecution, especially in part 5, who are the ones that will be doing the persecuting, who will be involved. Well, you know, people say, well, it's the devil. Well, that's true. But who is he working through? Okay, and we come to understand, as we saw in part 5, who Jesus told us is going to be involved in the persecution against true believers. And once again, you notice I said true believers. As I said in part 5, everyone that's claiming to, quote, be of God is not a true believer. But I promise you, if anything is going to bring out the purity or if something's wrong out of a thing, it's going to be a trial. It's going to be persecution. And so we will see in this end time, during the time of the persecution, which right now you can look at it, we're in it now, okay? It's just that it has not hit to the highest level here in America, but it's coming. But it's hit to the highest level in other countries. Now, having said that, we're going to continue on with this, and we're going to go to our Bibles here. And if you have a Bible, turn to me to the book of Mark, chapter 13. And for those of you that say, well, you know, I don't have a Bible, well, just listen along with us. Amen. Amen. Just listen along with us. Amen. And glory be to God. And take what you hear back to the Lord. Amen. Now, we have been looking at, you know, Jesus said in the scriptures, when they deliver you up to the synagogues, you will be beaten, you know, and when they lay hands on you. And then in Revelation, those that were killed for the word of God asked the Lord, how long would you avenge our blood on them that dwell on earth? So we've been looking at who are the they and the them that will be doing this persecuting that Jesus talks about in his word. And we come to understand that these was, first of all, unbelievers. And second of all, we're going to come to see even more, not just unbelievers, but even former believers who, quote, will become, once again, unbelievers, okay? And so we're in Mark chapter 13, verse 12. And let's look at what Jesus said. He said, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Wow. Now, Jesus said, this is, you know, and you notice that in what Jesus said is going to happen, that he didn't say it's peace, now did he? You know, you hear people in this world say, well, on this earth, things is going to get better. Well, it's only going to be true peace with true believers. For to say that this world, as it go on, is going to get better, it's not. Not in this state. Now, when the Lord do what he have to do and bring a new heaven and new earth, okay, that's different. When we go into the millennial reign of peace, that's different. But in the earth as is in its state right now, no. Notice that Jesus said, the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Now, in one sense, this is involving they of the world who will betray one another, okay? Because, and we see this now in brothers betraying brother to death. And, you know, not saying that one was saved, wasn't saved. We see a lot of betraying, no love in the families, okay? No love, not even the natural love anymore in the families, just betraying one another. We see, and the father, the son. Now, notice that this whole 12 verse is more or less dealing with what? Family. He said, the father, the son, okay? We've seen fathers betraying sons, okay? And he said, and the children rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. We've seen that happen, okay? Amen. So we see that he talks about here how the love is going to be gone. Hallelujah. The love, you know, the love is going to wax cold in the family. The natural love is going to wax cold in the family, okay? I'm going to go a little bit deeper. But we're seeing that today. You got parents who got children who act like that's not their children. You can see how they act and how they treat them, okay? You got children who act like their parents is not their parents. You got brothers acting like they're not even kin, and you got same way with sisters. The stuff that they're doing to one another. And so the Lord is letting you know, this is what's going to happen in these last days, okay? This is what's going on. And people, I know you see it. Some of you have seen some stuff that have been done between siblings that make your mouth fly open. You know, for example, there have been families where that the daddy or the mama died. And there's been a big time fallout over their possessions. Amen. Yeah, I know many of y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, siblings just slinging mud at each other to a point you be like, are they really siblings? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. But in also looking back or looking at this, hallelujah, another thing I see out of this, when he said brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father, the son, the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Hallelujah. This also involves the one who is doing the betraying, which was unsaved, doing it to the one who is saved, even though their relationship is biological. Now you say, well, brother, now you got to repeat that. What do you mean? For example, he said, now the brother shall betray the brother to death. Well, see, the brother that's betraying the brother, the first brother here, represented the unsaved, betraying the brother, the one that is truly saved. Amen. See, I told you, I believe in part five, you know, especially in the beginning, that Jesus is showing you who's going to persecute. If you're going to, glory to God, stand for Christ truthfully, you're going to face persecution. And they're going to be family folks doing the betrayal. Now, please hear me on this message, because I've said this in part five. When you hear this, don't go looking under eye and evil eye at your family folks that ain't saved. Okay? But the Lord is warning you what potentially can happen. Now, it may be your family folks may end up getting saved, truly saved. But then if they don't in the end, then Jesus is warning you what you're about to face. Amen? So they're going to be brothers who are unsaved betraying their brother who is saved. Hallelujah. The father, the son. They're going to be fathers who are unsaved betraying their sons who are saved. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. The children rising up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. They're going to be children turning who are not saved, turning on their parents who are saved. See, I told you guys, I think in part five yesterday, but, you know, what it's going to come down to, remember, because, see, a lot of times you say, we family. And don't get me wrong, God is interested in family. But the one thing that will bring the separation is when you got two different spirits. What do you mean, Brother Nate? Well, the born-again believer in the family who's born again by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and has now the nature of God in his spirit, and then the other one who's in the family who is not saved, not born again, and still in the sin nature, the unregenerated spirit. Well, those in the sin nature, all they know is what? Sin. And see, people, what I want you to understand is that, and see, this is what the Lord wants you to understand, because, you know, some people, when they come across this, when they find out that mama or daddy, you know, start talking about them because they saved and always mocking and made fun of them, and now they have betrayed them, some people are so devastated and so angry and upset that they turn to hatred, and then they turn from God. And see, this is another reason why the Lord is warning you, warning me, warning all believers. So what? So you won't lose your place with him. Because sometimes when people get betrayed, they cause themselves to lose their place with God. They get into anger. They get into hatred. Amen. And any of us, when you're hurt or wounded, getting into that way, you get into the way of evil. You say, well, I'm called a Christian. Well, but your works can be evil. And it can cause you to lose out with God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hidaboshata. Glory. Amen. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to verse 3. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 3. The word of God said, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now, this woman, Revelation 12 and 1, clothed with the sun and moon on her feet, this woman is the church, not Mary, okay? Because symbolically, Jesus calls the church or a church a woman. Remember in Ephesians chapter 5, he said, men, he said, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So he comparing the husband to Christ and the wife to the church. So one of the symbolisms of a church that the word of God points out to us, the church is called a woman. Remember in Revelation 19, it said that Jesus is coming, the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and the word said what? His bride. Well, we know brides is the woman, not a man, the woman. Okay? So his church is his bride. So symbolically, when Jesus referred to a church, he calls a church a woman. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. When the smoke clears, now get this, the church is going to be made up completely. When I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ, as the word of God points out to us. When the smoke clears, it's going to be made up of nothing but believers. Yes, Snoop Dogg. Yeah, you remember when Snoop making that, quote, gospel rap album? And then when the lady, I think it was a lady interviewing him and asked him, what do you think about what people are going to say about him doing this gospel rap album with other gospel singers? He said, remember, he put his, I think he put his glasses down on his nose like he was so wise. I think he had on his, quote, church uniform and said, is the church just made of saints? Is the church just made of saints? Well, it shows what he know, because it's supposed to be. Now, is it fully now? No. But do it supposed to be? Yes. Okay. Supposed to be. But when the smoke clears, when Christ returns for his people, when he returns for the church, guess who they're going to be made up of? Number of believers. Not unbelievers, but believers. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the dragon in verse 3 represents Satan, according to Revelation 20. Remember that he said that old dragon, the serpent, which is Satan. Okay? So this is Satan, but also it is a nation in service to Satan, which is who? Which is Rome. Okay? Amen. Because in Revelation 17, it talks about Rome, the place which sits on 7 mountains or 7 hills. Okay? That's Rome. Hallelujah. So this dragon, glory to God, is not only a Satan, but it is a nation in service to Satan. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to chapter 17, Revelation chapter 17. Let's go there. Revelation chapter 17. Hallelujah. I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm going to read to verse 6. Revelation chapter 17, starting at verse 1, going to verse 6. And he said, and there came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Okay? And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, once again, I told you that symbolically, Jesus calls the church a woman. So we see this woman that he referred to as the whore that sits on many waters. Hallelujah. And he describes her. Amen. So this woman here is a church. Hallelujah. This church, being the church of Satan, because remember, the Bible said that she sat upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And remember, the seven heads and 10 horns were mentioned back in Revelation 12. So all this is connected with Satan and this nation in service to Satan. So this church is also joining there. So all together is nothing more or other than the Roman Catholic Church. Hallelujah. And verse 6 said, she drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs. You see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which means what? She killed and persecuted them what? Physically. That's why I pointed you guys to the book Christian Martyrs of the World, because it tells you about that. And in that time, you know, they had to refer to the Roman Catholic Church, those of the Roman Catholic Church, as the Holy Office. Okay? Amen. So this Roman Catholic Church, you know, is of believers. Now, today, you say, there are going to be people in the Roman Catholic Church that the Lord is going to draw out of there. Some of them really have a heart and love the Lord. They just being deceived. But overall, the church represents a church of unbelievers because they are connected to Satan. Satan is not a born-again believer, okay? But notice that they drunk the blood of the saints, okay? Now, from what I understand, back in, I forgot, was it medieval times or something like that, where when opposing kings or armies fought, the one that defeated the other, what they would do, they would drink the blood of their enemies. That's how, one of the ways they celebrate. They showed that they had a rule. They would drink the blood of their enemies. And so here it said that the woman was drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Okay? Celebrating persecution or killing of the saints. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. People, I pray that you hear this. And why the Lord is telling, you know, we need to get ready. We do. Amen. I know that you, many of you seeing the Pope, the Roman Catholic Church, you know, the world got them as numero uno. And when they say they're of God, they're not of God. And see, more and more, you know, some people, and I was talking to somebody about something else today, but more people are blinded. You know, because some things about even more of the Roman Catholic Church is coming out. Some things about where the Pope is standing is coming out. You know, because people say, oh, he's so holy. They're so holy. They're really of Jesus. But then you're starting to see things that they are speaking that is abominable. Things that they're saying that God accepts and that God had took an act in, you know, like when the Pope told that man that was raped by that Chilean priest and part of the Catholic Church, he said, well, he told the man, and the man was put, a homosexual seed was planted in the man, and the Pope told him what? He said, God made you that way, and God loved you that way, as a homosexual. The same God that we see in from the Old to the New Testament, who spoke of homosexuality being abomination, sin, evil, you name it, this same God, the Pope claimed, had a hand in making this man a homosexual. Can you say wow? If you can't, I can. Wow. That ain't my Lord. Amen. Now, I want to read scriptures from one of the books I was telling you about called The Record of Nephi. And here's something that the Lord gave one of his servants over here. His name is Nephi. Amen. I ask that you would give your undivided attention once again. Would you hear me read? Go back to Jesus. Brother Nate ain't right here to tell you, say, you better just hear what I say and accept it all. No, ask Jesus nothing. No, sirree. That is not Brother Nate telling you nothing like that. In fact, the Lord tell me to tell you and then tell me to point you to him. Amen. So I'm going to point you to him. Now, this is what the Lord gave this man named Nephi, who's a servant of the Lord, who dad was a servant of the Lord named Lehi. And Lehi was shown, I think it was a vision or what have you, by the Lord. And his son Nephi wanted to know from the Lord about, Lord, what did you show my father? I want to know the meaning of what you showed him, you know, because I think that, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, his dad shared it with them, and he wanted to understand the meaning. And so this is what he said. He said, and it came to pass that the angel spake unto me, saying, look, and I look and beheld many nations and kings. And the angel said unto me, what beholdest thou? And I said, I behold many nations and kingdoms. And he said unto me, these are the nations and kingdoms of the Gentiles. Okay? And it came to pass that I saw among the nations of the Gentiles the foundation of a great church. And the angel said unto me, behold, the foundation of a church which is most abominable above all other churches. In other words, the top dog. The top dog when it comes to abomination. Hallelujah. Get this, he said, which slayeth the saints of God, yea, and tortures them and bindeth them down and yoketh them with a yoke of iron and bringing them down into captivity. Well, what church is he talking about? The church that we just look at here in Revelation 17, the Roman Catholic Church, persecuted the saints. And it ain't over, people. It's not over. Amen. The Roman Catholic Church, they persecuted the early church. And guess what? They're going to be persecuting the latter church. Because the latter church is going to be a problem for them. Why? Because the latter church is going to be used by God to really expose truth. Do you get that? See, the Roman Catholic Church is playing this game, trying to make everybody think they're for God. The Pope is trying to make everybody think that God made him the head here on this earth. And sad to say, you got some churches who claim to be Christians who has accepted that. Through the years, you remember Pope John Paul? What they do? Bend down and kiss his finger. Kiss the ring on the finger. Stoop down and do that. Well, remember when John the Revelator was doing that to the angel in Revelation, what the angel said? Oh, don't do that. Well, see, John Paul II didn't tell him, say, hey, don't bow down to me. And start doing that. No. See, and a lot of these practices and teachings of theirs that are not of God is out of front. But once again, blindness or blind binders is over the eyes of many people, okay? You got to really want to know truth. You can't be caught up in connection with, well, I'm a Catholic. And so if you connect, if you all caught up that you're a Catholic, then you just going to believe only what the Catholic says, okay? So any kind of teaching that comes against the Catholic teaching, you're not going to accept. That's why you got to be open to God for truth. That's just like somebody that's a Baptist or somebody that's saved, they can't be so caught up in the denomination. Because if they do, say, for example, if they caught up as a Baptist, then any teaching that come to them that don't fit what the Baptists teach, they will reject it. And see, God ain't looking for no kind of people. He's looking for the kind of people that's open for the word of God for truth. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as I told you before, that the persecution is going to come to the believers by those that are of the world, those that are unbelievers. And I also told you, they're going to be persecuted by those who were former believers. Yeah, former believers. Okay? Let's go to Matthew 24. Let me show you what I mean. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Amen. Thank God for the word of God. Matthew chapter 24. And I'm going to read verses 45 to verse 49. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45 to verse 49. Amen. Now look what the word of God said. He said, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord have made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Doing what? Being a ruler over the household, giving the meat or the word of God to the people of God. Okay. Verse 47. He said, "Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But," here's another one, "and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his" what? Or beat. Got the word smite here, it means beat what? His fellow servants. You see that? His fellow servants. "And to eat and drink with" who? "With the drunken." In other words, he then went back in the world. He went to join himself back to the unbelievers. "The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in the hour that he is not aware of." Did you hear that? That evil servant who says that his Lord delays his, he said, "My Lord delays his coming," and he's going to turn on his fellow servants and beat them. Can't you see that the Lord, how he's warning you? Not only is you going to be suffering persecution at the hand of unbelievers, but you're going to be suffering persecution by those who were former believers. Okay? People that used to be in the Lord. I'm telling you, if you look today, it may be some people you know, but there have been people who started off on fire for God. Now they into anything and everything now. They have made your mouth fly open. You said, "My God, say what? He doing what? She doing what now? Oh, no." And what you see, and you say, "Wait a minute. What happened?" And some of the same ones is condoning sin. They lifting sin up. They even tell you, say, "Ain't nothing wrong with it." You can see them. Their pursuit of God is not there, but their pursuit of riches is. Their pursuit of fame is there. Their pursuit of pleasing their flesh is there, but not the pursuit of Christ is not there. And if you come into the picture obeying God and walking in the light, for the most part, you ain't really got to say a whole lot to them, because the light that shines from you is going to shine on them, and it's going to show them up, and they not going to like it. Amen. You know, sometimes you got some people, quote, who've been in the church 15, 20 years, ain't been doing nothing over work for the Lord. And then, as they say, a young buck coming there on fire for God, start spreading the word, and you notice that some of the folk that have been there 15, 20 years start getting jealous. They start talking about them, persecuting. Amen? Why is that? It ain't so much that young person coming there and bragging. The young person just doing what he's doing in the Lord, but the light that is shining from him is shining on them and showing them what? All they've been doing is sitting around for 15 or 20 years. You get what I'm saying? And see, some who will be former believers, they're going to persecute you. These are going to be some of the people you knew who was, quote, into the Lord before you came. Ain't going to start persecuting you. You're going to be like, "What is happening? What did I do to you?" But when you look at their life and you see how they live, you're going to be like, "Oh, man. I thought you supposed to have been delivered from that life." Yeah, you know, like I said, you notice how more of the so-called church people, okay, amen, is becoming, and I'm going to use this word, excited about sin. Some of them, you just look at their faces, they just so happy when something is sin, you know, your mind is just blown at the look like at the joy they have. for just doing it, or the joy they have for somebody else doing. Amen.
Are you wondering
what's going on? What's happening with this? What is this? Amen. Some of y'all are in churches. Well, when you first joined that church, everything was lovey-dovey. Preacher was preaching, doing his thing, preaching against sin, all of that. But now after so long, you start noticing something. You start noticing some treacherous, deceitful stuff being done. And you find out people in the church is condoning it. You find out now even your pastor is starting to condone it. And you going, what is going on? And now that you're standing speaking out, now they growling at you. And you're now becoming devastated because you said, wait a minute. This ain't how it was when I first came in. What happened? See, that's why I tell you, people, when you come to the Lord, one of the things you got to build a relationship with Christ. If anyone is teaching you the word of God, if they don't point you to build a relationship with Christ, they're not doing their job completely. You understand that? I have to form a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 13. The Bible here, Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Going back into the Bible here. And we're going to go into verse 9. Mark chapter 13. Going to verse 9. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 13, verse 9. Jesus said, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten. And ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. Now, I want to point you to something was very interesting to me when I look it up. And I want to define this, glory to God, from two places, okay? And the word is synagogue. Synagogue, okay? And I want to define the word synagogue from two sources. I want to define it from Webster, and I want to define it from the Bible Concordance, okay? So, the word synagogue, amen. Webster defined the word synagogue as a Jewish congregation, the house of worship, and communal center of a Jewish congregation. So it is saying, one says a synagogue is the building. Okay? It referred to as a Jewish building, but it's the building. So you're brought into the building, and you're going to be beaten in the Jewish synagogues. But it's not just the Jewish. Now, let's look at the word synagogue, original Greek word for synagogue, is synagoge. Synagoge. And synagoge means an assemblage of persons, specifically a Jewish synagogue, just like Webster defined it. But then as you keep reading, it says the meeting or the place. Then it said, by analogy, a Christian church. Say what? Christian church. Wait a minute. What is you? Glory to God. Hold the press for a minute, people. Jesus said, they should deliver you up to councils and then in the synagogue. And that Greek word synagogue, I read to you one of me, is a Christian church. What? Wait a minute. Glory be to God. When are you being delivered to a Christian church to be beaten for? Something, wait a minute, something just don't sound right, okay? You know, in Romans chapter 2, verse 28 through 29, it talks about one who is a Jew inwardly and circumcision in the spirit, being born again believers. And then in Romans chapter 9, it shows that you don't have to be biologically or in the flesh to be of Israel. But if you are a born again believer, you are of Israel, the spiritual Israel. So this, no doubt, this synagogue that is also by analogy means a Christian church. This is of a supposed to be church that's supposed to be Christians, but they're not. Former believers. You're going to be beaten in the places where there were even former believers. You get that? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. I sense Jesus. I sense the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Why do I need, you like, well, why do I need to know that? Because once again, when those who were once believers turn, you know, some people, when they see somebody was once walking in the Lord and they turn, then they turn. They say, oh, shoot, if he turned away from the Lord, ain't no need of me. Listen, this is why when I teach people the word of God, I don't teach them to totally depend upon me. I teach them the word of God, put their eyes on the word, and I point them to Christ. Remember that, people. We ought to love one another, but not have your total dependency in that person. You got to build a relationship with Christ. You got some people today that claim to be saved. They have not built no relationship with Christ. Now, they have a relationship with him as far as child to parent. But I'm talking about that building that attachment to Christ where you get to know him, okay? You got some people, they ain't even tried that, people. They haven't. They haven't tried that. Glory to God. Amen. I mean, once they get from church service, that's it. Hallelujah. That's completely it. No studying the word of God, no prayer, none of that. Hallelujah. These Christian churches, now they're going to be so-called Christian churches who have what? Who have fallen away. Hallelujah. Have fallen away. Glory be to God. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Have fallen away. See, we need to heed the warning of Christ. Okay? You know, it's just like sometimes there's some people you may thought are your friend, but the Holy Ghost will reveal to you they're not your friend. Some people have put out like they got your best interest at heart. The Holy Ghost will reveal you. You say, no, you don't. No, they don't. Amen. See, we need to get in such a close connection with God that we'd be able to discern good for evil. You know, God will help you to discern good for evil because, see, with our own senses, we couldn't do it. In our own senses, we can be easily fooled. That's why we need the Holy Ghost, people. You understand that? In our own senses, we can be fooled. We can be fooled into thinking something's true when it's not. See, that's why the reason why the devil tried to keep you from getting close to God, because he know that if we stay in our own sense realm, oh, he can have a heyday with us. He can fool us. He can bounce us side to side and all that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, I know some, and you know. Hallelujah. See, I told you that, you know, as I got on into this series, because, see, people, I have to speak on this. Like I said, some Christians hear me telling y'all this now, they will be frowning, and they will say that I'm the type of person that tries to steal fear in the hearts of people. Now, I tell them this. I said, well, if you say that about me, then you should say this about Jesus because it's his words. It's his words. Jesus, we was reading his words now. Not Brother Nate's words. Brother Nate didn't write the Bible. Brother Nate didn't write the record of Nephi. Brother Nate did not write the word of the Lord. Okay? I didn't write none of that. So it's his words, okay? So if you want to accuse me of planting fear in the hearts of people, well, you might well accuse Christ first. Amen? Hallelujah. See, you have some Christians, they don't even want you to tell people about hell. Don't tell them that. You'll scare them. I said, well, you know what? What did Jesus talk about hell in the Bible? Of course he did. Yeah, he did. So what you going to say that to him too? Jesus, why are you telling those people that? You're scaring them. See, Jesus was warning them of a place because he didn't want them to go to it. I am warning you from by the grace of God because I don't want you to be caught up in it. God warned us because he don't want us to be caught up in it. Like I said, there have been people who have turned away from the Lord because they end up being persecuted by people, quote, in the church. That's why you hear so many people. You hear people like Will Smith say, you know, Christianity messed me up. You hear so many of these so-called, so many of these stars. One of the things they talk, if there's any kind of belief they're going to talk bad about, is Christianity. A lot of time, I grew up in a Christian home, and it was so strict. See, they pray that of Christianity, okay? And so you got people today who had come to the Lord, and they turn away from the Lord because someone they knew in the Lord, now that person has turned away, so they look at that person, and now they turn away. Or that person that turned away is starting to persecute them. And they say, oh, man, that was my mentor in the Lord, and now he's all on me, and he's getting on my case, and he's talking about me, and he's making fun of me. I can't take it. If my mentor's doing that too, well, why should I stay? That's people. That's a lot of people mentality. And that's why you find they have fallen out from the Lord. Because they couldn't take the persecution, not just through unbelievers, but by former believers that become unbelievers, okay? They have turned from the Lord. And see, the Lord is warning us. Now, what have we been doing? We've been asleep. To those of you that's listening right now, you know you have turned away from the Lord. Why? Because you were being mocked and made fun of by someone who you, quote, trusted dearly in the church, who at one point appeared to be a godly man or a godly woman to you, and now they're in turn and they, you know, and did the switcheroo thing, and now they talking about you and persecuting you, and you say, oh, my goodness, this used to be my mentor in the Lord, my teacher. Now if they talking about me and persecuting me, why should I even stay? But understand this. It ain't the Lord that's persecuting you. It's them. Okay? Amen. Don't never let nobody turn you away from Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't let nobody do that. That's a no-no. With capital N's and capital O's. No-no. A big no-no. You don't do that. If you do, who can save you? If you turn away from Jesus, you're going on the path back to hell. Who can save you? Those same people that made you upset, that talked about you, they couldn't save you anyhow. They talked about you, and now you turn away. Well, who's going to save you? You get back on that road going to hell. Who or what can save you? Man, I mean, who? What? Nobody out there. Ain't nothing out there that can do that. Jesus, numero uno, number one. Number one. Not two, three, four, five, six. He's number one. Okay? Understand that. Okay? I'm going to stop here tonight. And I believe I got like one more part to this, a part seven. That should close it out. Okay? And I really thank God for being able, you know, some time ago, I didn't have on my mind to have these many parts or even do this persecution the end time, but I thank God for being able to do it. But I'm telling you, this is the Lord's warning to you. Please hear this, okay? Because we're on the way to this, people. Listen, this is not a game. This is not a play thing. This is for real, okay? This is straight up serious. Persecution, okay? You're going to be facing family folks that's going to be persecuted. At one time, for the most part, you're going to receive a lot of verbal persecution with them mocking and making fun of you and talking about you and putting you down. And then, sad to say, some of them are going to want to increase it to a higher level, okay? That's where your physical persecution come in at. A higher level they're going to want to take it up to. And the Lord don't want you to be surprised, nor taking in anger and bitterness and hatred that will lead you down the wrong road to destruction. But this is where you face it. You're going to be facing kinfolks. Jesus told you, friends, family, okay? Notice he named all that. Brethren, he named all that. Why? Because just in case you're thinking of running somebody for safety. Now, I don't mean that everybody's going to do that to you now, but he let you know it's going to be coming out of those groups that you're going to be facing. Amen. You know, in the book Christian Martyrs of the World, I remember reading about this one lady. She was a Christian, and they were going to get ready to, burn her at the stake. And like I told you, one of the chief things, the major chief thing Satan wants to get you to do besides worshiping him is to renounce Christ. So he wants you to worship him and renounce Christ. So this is what they was doing to Christians. You know, before they would burn them alive, they would confront them about renouncing Christ. And so this lady who's a Christian, so they were trying to get her to renounce Christ. And what they were going to do, she had a child, I think a baby. And her dad, biological dad, okay, they were going to use him to bring the baby and hope that persuade her, soften her heart to renounce Christ. Can you say wow? I definitely can. Wow. Well, guess what? If the early Christians went through something like that, the latter Christians did too. So don't be surprised certain family members come and try to use things to try to get you to renounce Christ. And you said, well, they know I believe in Jesus. Why would they do that? It goes back to what I told you before. You got two different natures in operation. You got a born-again spirit that received the nature of God, and you got an unregenerated spirit that knows the sin nature. You got two different spirits. This is why Satan, after he let his little rebellion ride up there in heaven, could not stay in heaven because he was in the wrong spirit. Okay? The wrong nature. Somebody had to get out the house. God said he ain't leaving. So the devil had to go. Okay? He kicked the devil and his boys out of there. Okay? Remember that. So glory be to God. Thank God for the written word. Father, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for your word. We thank you for your spirit. And Father, we thank you for blessing me to be able to do this broadcast. Lord God, I pray that you water the seed I've sown and bring forth the increase in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I give you glory and honor and praise in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So, once again, I thank God for all you've been listening. Lord, say the same. I will probably, tomorrow we got Brother Lee coming on. No, I'm sorry, I'll be on tomorrow. He's back to Saturday and Sunday. So, tomorrow, Lord, say the same. I will be back with part 7. Persecution in the end time. Look for the advertisement then. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.